103. I'll let you all get back to where you're supposed to go. Have to realize this is the third string up here. So I forget. You all have to move. And next week is Greg Bartlett. I'm not sure what string he belongs to. You're the fourth string. Okay. Psalm 103. As a parent, sometimes you see faults in your children, and in your effort to correct those faults, it's like looking in a mirror, and you see yourself. And they are doing what you used to do, or what you might still be doing. And this happened recently in our household. The issue was boiling down to, are you going to study for school, or are you going to not prioritize your time? Are you going to waste time? Are you going to watch the TV? Are you going to be on the computer? Or are you going to study? This is more important. And the phrase, it seems like we're just doing enough to get by, came up. And that's something that you might have expressed to your children. And it seems like that's what I was trying to get across to one child in particular, and they said not to embarrass them, so I'll not name them. Caitlin got in the van tonight, and she said, "Dad, just don't tell any stories about us, okay?" But as soon as I said those words, it seems like we're just doing enough to get by, it seemed like the Holy Spirit was saying, they see that in you. Spiritually, what you are talking to them about academically, they are seeing in you on a spiritual level. And around 2:30, then the next morning, sometimes I wake up and you might be like this, where you can't get back to sleep. And so you might as well just get up and read. And so I picked up my Bible and I started reading. And I was especially convicted about my prayer life and doing just enough to get by. And so I opened to this, probably is my favorite psalm, Psalm 103. It's been described by commentators as David's Hallelujah Chorus, even though the word hallelujah is not in there. But I started reading this chapter, and what a great chapter it is. I wish we had time to go through the entire chapter and just read and meditate on these wonderful truths that are found, that David talks about here. Some people feel it's David's response to what he wrote in chapter 102. And again, we won't read the entire chapter. If we did, however, we would notice that David, first of all, in verses 1 and 2, he pleads for the Lord to quickly answer his prayer for deliverance from trouble. And then verses 3 through 11, David describes the condition in which he found himself, a condition that was desolate both physically and emotionally. Then, as is the case in many psalms, David takes his eyes off of his problem, puts them on the Lord where they belong. Verses 12 through 22 express confidence that the Lord is going to take care of his problems. And then the chapter concludes with a parting glance in verses 23 through 28 at his own personal weakness, which can only be helped. We see in verse 28, verse 27 and 28, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established forever. And it's with this spirit that David begins Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We're going to focus just on two different exhortations that we find in these verses. We aren't going on to verse 3. It would be fun to go on to verse 3 and 4 and verse 5, talking about all the benefits. And we don't have time necessarily to go through all those benefits, because it would take us many, many, many hours to have each of us say, how has God benefited you? What has God done for you? What has God done for me? So we're just going to focus on two exhortations found in verses 1 and 2. Three times David gives the exhortation to bless the Lord, to bless his holy name. And the repetition here implies an earnestness and should motivate us as believers to remember that prayer is not just about us and our needs. Those things are important, and we find in Scripture the Lord often telling us, bring your cares to me because I care for you. Pray, and the peace of God after you pray will just enter your hearts and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But this is where I found myself, where I was doing enough praying to get by, but my prayer was just focusing on me and my needs and what I felt were my issues that I needed help with. And I think if we would start to say, well, what percentage of our prayers, I don't know if there's a way you could do this, what percentage of our prayers just focus on me and what percentage of our prayers focus on God? What percentage of your prayers would be on you, and what percentage would be blessing the Lord, as David exhorts us here? I'm afraid that the scale would probably tip in favor, I know in my life, of me and my needs. There are five ways that the word bless is used in Scripture. Number one, God is said to bless his people in some way when he gives them either material or spiritual blessings. And we see, for instance, there are a couple examples that we could look at. Abraham, do you remember when he sent his servant Eliezer to go and find a wife for his son Isaac? And he shows up at this well, and Rebekah comes out to water the flock or the herd, and the servant has prayed, let the one be the wife that I'm looking for this master of mine that volunteers to give my camels water. Or gives me to drink and gives the stock drink as well. And sure enough, Rebekah was that one. And we see in verse 35 of chapter 24 of Genesis, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. He's talking about Abraham. We see the same thing said about Job at the end of Job, after God had restored everything that Job had lost. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And then in Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, not just materially, but has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So, first way blessed is used, or God is said to bless his people, he gives them material or spiritual blessings. There are a few instances when mankind or a person would bless themselves. And when he invokes God's blessing or rejoices in God's goodness to him, Isaiah 65:16, that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. So there's an instance where man actually blesses himself on behalf of God. Number three, when a person offers good wishes upon someone else, or if they offer prayer to God on behalf of someone else, it is said that they blessed that person, as if one of you would offer a prayer on, like we just did. When we offer prayer on behalf of someone who is struggling physically. All right? In Genesis 48, verse 20, Jacob meets Joseph's two sons, and it says he blessed them that day, saying, "In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh." And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. 1 Samuel 2, verse 20 is the first part of 1 Samuel. Is very familiar to us. When Samuel obviously is not born yet, his parents are going to the tabernacle to pray that they would have children. They couldn't have children at that time. And Eli goes up to Hannah. He thinks she's drunk. And she says, "I'm just burdened. I would love for the Lord to answer this prayer." And Eli assures her that, in fact, God did or has heard her prayer. And then when Samuel is born, they bring Samuel to the tabernacle and give him back to the Lord. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife in 1 Samuel 2:20 and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went unto their own home and they had five more children. And so the Lord answered that prayer. The word bless is used. When the Jews were offering their thank offerings, the master of the feast took the cup of wine in his hands, blessed it, and he gave it to the guests. And Paul alluded to this cup in 1 Corinthians 10:16. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" Obviously, there's only one thing left. Out of the four or five that we've already talked about, four, there's one left, and that's the one that David uses here in these verses, to bless the Lord when we thank him for his mercies, when we thank him for all he's done for us. In all of our praying, we must be careful to bless the Lord. How did the psalmist do it? Well, he's talking to himself when he writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." This is a difficult spiritual discipline. And maybe you have focused on your prayer so much that you're... How easily we can pray and we're trying to fulfill this command to bless the Lord. And we try to thank him for all he's done and how easy it is to let it go into, "Now help me. Now meet my needs. Now take care of this issue." We have to be fully engaged with our entire being at this important activity of blessing the Lord. One commentator said, "The idea is that God is worthy of all praise and adoration which the entire man can render. No one of his faculties or powers should be exempt from the duty and the privilege of praise." Probably the hardest part of "all that is within me, bless his holy name," is keeping our minds engaged in our prayer. Some people do things like talk out loud when they're praying. Some people walk when they pray. I found it's not a good idea to lay down when you pray. Bad things happen. All right. But it's hard to keep our minds engaged when we pray. They wander often. If you've read the book Disciplines of a Godly Man, you're familiar with this illustration that R. Kent Hughes gives as he confesses his struggle in this area. And maybe you can relate to this humorous description. For example, I may be praying for Mother, and as I pray for her, I see our old family home at 747 Edmaru Avenue. In front is parked my gray primer 1941 Ford. It has racing slicks on the back, a hopped-up 48 Mercury engine, and on the side, custom pinstriping, which reads, "Swing low, sweet chariot." Suddenly, I'm 17, wearing my blue suede leather jacket, sitting behind my gold steering wheel and heading down Beach Boulevard to Huntington Beach. I can smell the ocean and cocoa butter. So much for my prayers for Mother. Okay, and we all have been there, haven't we? And so I think this is probably the hardest part of all that is within me, blessing His holy name, keeping our minds on what we're supposed to do. So verse 1 admonishes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Verse 2 gives us the second admonition, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." One commentator has described His benefits as His divine dealings with us. This same commentator said, "We shall find when we reach the end of life that all which God has done, however dark and mysterious it may have appeared at the time, was so connected with our good as to make it a proper subject of praise and thanksgiving." How easy it is for us to forget all that God has done for us. We must constantly be on guard against being forgetful of all His benefits. And who do we have as an example in Scripture of being forgetful? Well, the children of Israel. And it's just a... You think, now, if I had lived back then, I would have said, wait. Don't get so excited about... God's going to take care of us. Don't you remember what He did for us back at the Red Sea? Don't you remember the bronze serpent? Moses lifts up the serpent. People who are bitten by the serpent, all they have to do is look and live. Don't you remember all that stuff? Don't you remember how water came out of the rock? Don't you remember the manna? Don't you remember the protection from enemies? Don't you remember these things? And you think of anybody who could remember, it would be the children of Israel. But we often fall under the same spell, so to speak, and we forget. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10 says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein." That's a description of us right there. Our easy lifestyle. We've eaten, we're full, we've built goodly houses, and we've dwelt therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply... For us, it might be cars and boats and RVs. "And thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Like I said, these folks have been on the front line of seeing God work. They had firsthand experienced some amazing miracles that we've never seen a parting of a body of water. We've never seen all of this. But we should heed these warnings just like the children of Israel needed to heed the warnings that God gave them at this time. If you could keep your place here at Psalm 103 and go to Lamentations. Another example of someone who blessed the Lord in spite of some awful circumstances. Lamentations chapter 3 is where we will read. But if you read the historical background of the book of Lamentations, you'll read that from 588 to 586 B.C., Babylon had Jerusalem under siege. Jerusalem's only ally was Egypt, and they'd already taken care of them. So now there was no help. Jerusalem was sunk. I mean, they were under siege, and if you know anything about countries that put another city under siege, it was just a matter of time. As the watchmen would look out from time to time, they might see the food they had ordered being stopped about a mile away, and the camels unloaded, and the guys turned around and they went off. There's no hope. No water, no food. Society began unraveling into barbaric acts of idol worship because of the starvation that was experienced. In chapter 2 and 4, we read of mothers who cannibalized their own children. Throughout this, Jeremiah was constantly, faithfully preaching God's word, which caused his life to be in danger. And Jeremiah witnessed all of these tragic events unfold, and it was during these events that he penned his Lamentations. Yet right in the middle, we read verse 21 through 23 of chapter 3, very familiar verses. It says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." Actually, I went to 24. But Jeremiah was going through things more than just we had a flat tire on the way to work. He was going through some awful situation, and yet he could pen these words. What is Jeremiah recalling to mind? Well, the same thing back in Psalm 103 that David exhorted himself not to forget about. God's benefits. Aren't our prayers full of, "Lord, do this. Lord, do that"? These verses provide a great reminder. There's much more to our prayers, or there should be, than just a prayer list, although that's very important, and it does help our minds to stay focused. But we must not forget to follow David's pattern here that we read in these verses. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." I would encourage you to try to do that. Try to do that and try to stay on task with our minds. And just tell God what a wonderful God he is to serve. And all that he's done for us. We of all people should be most thankful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, it's so easy to fall into a rut in our prayer life. It's so easy just to feel like we've done enough if we pray through a prayer list, or if we remember all the missionaries, or if we pray for the things that are on our minds, the needs that we have. And these are very important things, but oftentimes we forget to bless you, to praise you. You are such a good God to us. We thank you that you have called us into your service. We thank you for the blessings that we experience each day, and sometimes we just forget to thank you for those things. They come, you give us safety going to work, you give us a good day at work, you meet our needs of food and clothing and shelter, you protect our children as they're at school. You help them as they learn. You give us friends. You do so much for us. You've given us salvation. And we could spend hours just praising you for the gift of your Son. And oftentimes those things get shoved to the side and we just focus on us and our own needs. Would you please convict us when those things happen and draw our minds back to you and to the opportunity you've given us to be in your family. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.